Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Father, as we come before you, Lord, to look to you with pure hearts, Father. Thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Help us to be faithful. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we open your word. Lord, give us courage to be faithful. Help us look to you, Father, and remember the Savior, what he did in his life. In Jesus' name, we again thank you. Amen. I want to bring greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. Morning. I just want to reflect a little bit about God and about us. And the reason Christ came into this world and what he came to do. And just thankful for that whenever we see that he came into the world to be a man, to show us God, to show us who God is. Let's just go to the Bible here. Verse will begin in John 3:16. I want to read on to 21. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God." Man, because of his separation from God, has a perverted or a distorted image of God. Christ came as the light to reconnect or to perfectly reveal the image of God to man. The light. He came to bring the true meaning of who God was. Because man is perverted, his views of God are twisted. They're strained. They're distorted. They don't know who God is. Christ came to reveal to us who God truly is. We see that the example of the religious Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a perverted view of God. And we see that problem today, still, men having a perverted view of God. A lot of that perversion comes because of our own guilt. The Bible says uses judgment here, but in the King James it uses condemnation. Condemned. People feel the condemnation from God. They feel the guilt from God. And that guilt is, or the condemnation or the guilt causes us to do a lot of things that are wrong. A lot of crazy things that are wrong are just because of trying to escape the guilt or the condemnation. Men know that condemnation. They feel it. It's real. I would say that's probably one of the most defining or the most biggest proofs that there is something more in this world than just our lives is this knowing, this condemnation, this need for something. And I think that is one of the reasons why people act the way they do, trying to compensate or trying to fix, trying to run from, trying to escape from this condemnation. It comes from a perverted view of God. That's real. It's there. And it is the result of God trying to, or us being separated from God. It's the result of us being separated from God. That's why it's felt. That's why it's there. Because we're all alone in this world with ourselves. And there's no peace and there's no comfort from God. God is good. And I know that the evangelicals just say that God is good, so everything's good. And you just believe that and you will just be okay. It doesn't matter. But they leave out the need for us to be reconciled. They not just having everything taken care of, but truly restored to what God wants us to be. They get a hold of God's goodness and the burden just rolls away. The guilt just rolls away. But they don't realize that that's not just what God wants. God wants us to be restored. He wants us to be what He wants us to be. I think that many people, whenever they get that false sense of the burden gone, they start reveling in the burden being gone. And there's no change in their life and who's the king of their life. They might change religions. They might change being a bad person and now they're being a good person. But there's been no real reconciliation with God. There's been no real repentance. I think that's what's missing. There's not been a real owning of ourselves, of who we are. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is just owning who we are. It was mentioned this morning in Sunday school about the thief on the cross. The reference in the Bible was how Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe. He wasn't a thief, but he was crucified with thieves, and he paid the debt that he didn't owe. The thief on the cross, in one point it says that he cast the same, mocking God, mocking Jesus in his teeth. But after he was on the cross a while, something happened. And he was able to ask Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me. What was it that happened? I believe that this man owned himself. He owned his own guilt. You know, whenever we talk about guilt, a lot of times we feel bad because we've done something. We've done something wrong. And we feel bad about it. And so we try to fix what we've done wrong, but we can't forgive ourselves. Talked to a couple of different people this week that had that same problem. They acknowledge, yes, I've done wrong. When the Bible says if you'll confess your sin, that it's not just talking about, yeah, I realize I've done wrong. But there's an underlying thing there whenever they can't forgive themselves. Yeah, they've admitted they've done wrong, confessed it, and yeah, it's forgiven, I'm all right. But then there's still a condemnation. There's still something wrong. They can't forgive themselves for what they've done. What is the heart of that? One of the results of this perversion that mankind is under is pride. There's a real pride that in my mind, I thought I shouldn't have been able to do something like that that I did. I never thought that I was capable of doing this. And when I do something wrong and act a certain way, and then I'm ashamed of myself, and I can't forgive myself for what I've done. The heart of that is pride. Because I really didn't think I was capable of doing that. That's why we can't forgive ourselves. Because we truly, in our hearts, think that I'm above that. That I'm better than that. That I would never do such a thing. And then I do it. And now I can't forgive myself. Because I've got an exalted opinion of myself. True humility is not just confessing your faults before someone else. Oh yeah, I was wrong. I'm sorry. So you can get exalted for being humble. True humility is not that. True humility is owning yourself for who you are. It's owning you. It's owning me. True humility accepts what I am and who I am. That song, Just As I Am, without one plea. You know, it's been turned into, yeah, just come as you are. Jesus will just take you and he'll just accept you just like you are. There's no need to change. That's the way it's taken. But that's not what it's intended. When Jesus says, come like you are, it means come like you are and own yourself. Own yourself. So that you can be changed. Being willing to be changed. That's what owning yourself is all about. Is realizing, I am wrong. My whole being is wrong. I've exalted myself. And now I'm coming to Jesus, owning myself, so that I can change and will change. Meaning I'm ready to change. We want to come as we are, so all that burden will be taken away, so that we won't feel that condemnation, so that we can be forgiven. We don't come so that we can be restored. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world. God loves the world. Today, people have got a perverted view of even this. A perverted view that God loves me so much that nothing can ever happen bad to me because God loves me. God, people say, well, how can God be a God of love when there's so many bad things in the world? That's a perverted view of God. When all the bad things that are going on in the world, if God is so loving, why does bad things happen? If God is so loving, why did Grandma die? If God is so loving, why are people sick? God is so loving that in this sick world, because He's given us the opportunity to make choices for ourselves, and we've chosen and set all of this in motion, and the things that we do, the choices we make, have consequences. There's choices that we make that once we go through that, there's nothing you can do to fix it. There's things that you've done in your life, I've done in my life, that there is no way to stop what's going to happen that come as a result of that. Because of my choice. Because of your choice. But because God so loved us, because He gave us that opportunity to make those choices ourselves, and we wound up making dumb ones or wicked ones, or whatever they are, He is giving us the opportunity to return to Him. God is good. Heaven is where God is. And in heaven, there is nothing going to be there that contaminates. It's going to be pure. Some people think, well, if God is so good, why is He going to burn people in hell? That's what we're taught. That God is just sitting up there angry, just waiting to torture anybody that disobeys Him. That's a perverted view of God. Have you ever had a, you know, just go dig around in your trash can, where you've thrown some scraps of food, thrown some stuff in there. Go to a garbage dump somewhere where all this stuff is just thrown away. What happens to it? If you just pile it and pile it and pile it, it just begins to seethe, begins to grow, begins to just turn into this nasty, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And at times, they're telling about one of the big landfills up in St. Louis. Those huge landfills. It's on fire. It's actually, this stuff has gotten so hot, this nasty has just began to react to itself until it just burst into flames. Because that's the nature of trash. That's the nature of this. And it just burst into flames. When Jesus talked about someone being cast away, He used the word Gehenna. That was the big trash heap on the outside of town where things had to be burned. Where they were being burned. There was just continual fire going out there because it was getting rid of everything that was bad. You know, if you had a body, let's just look at humanity and this world. And we see some of the people, I guess my arguments or what I'm talking about here this morning, there's a lot of people that claim to be atheists in the world. And the reason they're atheists is because they're fighting something that is perverted. Their image of God has been so perverted, and now they've spent their whole lives fighting this image of a perverted God that doesn't exist. The God that the atheists hate truly does not exist. They say there is no God, and they are right. The God that they've created in their own minds does not exist. It's a result of religion. Usually, it's a result of them growing up in a religion or under someone whose expectations of them they were never able to meet. And instead of, like the Bible talks about, coming to the light, they love the darkness and just allow their own hurts or their own problems to just continue to grow and continue to build. You know, heaven and hell are right here. They're right here. God promises love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. And that can dwell in us. Just like hell can dwell in us. The guilt, the condemnation, the anger, the bitterness. Somebody done me wrong. And we can just let it grow and grow and grow. And it's already in us. You know, people get mad sometimes. A while back, somebody burned a Quran. And all the Muslims, oh, they just went up in smoke. Anger. Somebody burns a Bible. Somebody just throws a fit. God is not in a book. God is in us. The book is just a vessel that God is using. Just like He can use us. There's good vessels and there's bad vessels. There's good books and there's bad books. They're just books. Whenever we get all upset about a book, we're probably worshiping a book instead of God. It's just paper. Whenever nobody can burn my God by setting fire to a book. Nobody can burn my God by killing me or you. He's still alive. He is alive in us. And we've got hell growing in us, or we got heaven growing in us. And all that guilt, condemnation, and all of that stuff just growing and growing. Jesus came to give the light. Many of these people, some of their arguments about God, these atheists, you know, that one of the things they say is, if God is so good, why did He have Israel destroy the Philistines. Wipe out whole nations. Why did he do that? If he's so good. That's where the thought, you know, we look at that as humans and we see a part of humanity just being wiped away by God. That's bad. Our thought. But you know, if your body was humanity, if your body was humanity, and all of a sudden your body had some big cancer growing on it that was going to kill the body, would the rest of the body feel so bad about the cancer getting removed? Would it be upset? Oh, that's a terrible surgeon to cut that cancer off. But our views are so perverted that there would be even people get all upset about that today. The point is whenever people become so vile, in the Old Testament, before Christ came, there was no remedy. There was no remedy for being brought out of the gutter. God established Israel as a nation, the Zion as a nation, for one purpose. He promised Abraham that I'm going to send a seed through your family, through your generation, through your body, that's going to deliver mankind. Everybody around that little nation tried to kill him, tried to destroy him, tried to poison them, tried to pollute them. And God had to cleanse things to keep that seed alive so that mankind could live, so that mankind could be preserved, because it was going to take a Savior. And if there was, if Israel would have been completely put away or annihilated or poisoned, there wouldn't have been a seed to be brought forth that could redeem us. And so those measures that God had to take and the children of Israel had to take to preserve the body so that it could live. They look drastic to us, but if we put the same thing in our body and we cut off something that's killing us, that's not an act of hatred or meanness or anger or bitterness. It's an act of mercy to keep us alive. We're perverted. Our minds can't. We just want to turn God bad. We want to turn Him into something mean and cruel, because of our minds are polluted. How many times have we talked about how we judge others by what we see in our heart? We judge others. Oh, you're an adulterer. You're having wicked thoughts. You must be full of bitterness and anger whenever we look at somebody. And you know why we see them that way? He's a liar. I don't trust anybody. You know why we look at people that way? Because that's what you are. What we are in our hearts. And we've never owned it. We've never owned ourselves. We've never owned our guilt. When you own it, and you see what you are, and you taste mercy, then whenever you look out at someone, it's not this condemnation that Jesus didn't bring. It's mercy that you see. It's mercy that you're willing to offer. It's trust. It's honesty that you can see in someone else. Because that's what you're seeing and trying and looking for yourself. Instead of hell growing in your breast, You can have heaven growing in your breast. But you got to own it. People try all kinds of things to avoid it. You know why the alcoholic drinks? You know, alcohol is just, oh, never drink, I'll never drink, I'll never drink. The whole movement. Alcohol is not the problem. The reason people become alcoholics is because they won't own themselves. And they're trying to drown themselves. They're trying to drown that guilt, that condemnation. You know what happens? They try to drown it. They get drunk and do something stupid. And guess what? They got more to try to drown. And it just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they just feel more hopeless and more hopeless. And they drink and they drink and they drink until they kill themselves. The answer is own yourself. Yeah, you've done some dumb things. Humble yourself and own it. The reason people do drugs, they're trying to escape themselves. The reason people get so religious and set themselves up so high, and they look down at everybody else that doesn't measure up to them, it's the same thing. And they got to keep going and going and going and getting more holier than everybody else, because they have never owned themselves, humbled themselves. They can only see other people through their perverted eyes of what their ugly self is. It's why people kill themselves. It's why the suicide rate among homosexuals is through the roof. They're trying to present a happy life, but they don't like who they are. They won't accept who they are. They blame it on somebody else. God made me this way. Own yourself. Own yourself. Not just accept yourself, but own yourself. Come before God helpless. Come before God saying, this is me. This is who I am. And I don't like it. I don't want it. I want you. I don't like this hell growing in me that I'm trying to run from, that I'm trying to cover up, trying to smooth over. Own it. Own it. Get down to the very who you are and give it away. Give it up. Let it go. We just try to hold on to something. We try to hold on to this hell growing in us instead of just letting it go. And it's just that simple. The alcoholic can't drown these problems because they float. They're right there. You can't run away from your problems. No more than you can run away from your shadow on a sunny day. It follows you everywhere you go. And it mimics you. It mocks you. Everything that you do. Because it's you. Quit running from it. Face it. This is what I am. Lord, I need your help. Change me. Here I am. Get down to nothing. Jesus healed people all over in the Bible that were absolutely through with them, what they were doing. They were through with themselves. Jesus came to save us from those things. And then to restore us back to what He wanted us to do. The greatest commandment. We think sometimes that it's just an action that we've done. Yeah, those are wrong and they lead us to... But that's not the main problem. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your body and soul. Our sin is against God. The condemnation and the guilt that men know is because they have sinned against God. They've chosen something above God. It's against God. Whenever we will just look at Jesus and His life and what He taught, and see how He truly lived. And give ourselves to following Him. Doing His will. Laying down someone else's conscience or expectations of you. Laying down religion's expectations of you. And just saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the way you put that into practice in this life is loving your neighbor as yourself. You start treating the people around you the way Jesus would treat them. Did they cheat you? Forgive them. It's just money anyway. Go on. Do you see someone in need and don't help them? Put your effort into someone else. No matter what anybody else thinks. Let God be the ruler of your conscience. Not someone else. Do for others. It's that simple. But that's where it gets really difficult. Because we're looking at God through some perverted view. And we don't want to give that up. We'd rather be jealous and envious and all of those other things instead of just losing ourselves in humanity that is a creation of God. Most people have such a perverted view of even the Bible. We're taught, I grew up hearing it, this book is infallible, every word of it is the truth. Not one error in it, and it never contradicts itself. Well, I've studied it enough to find that I can find questions in what this says in places. This book is not God. God is. This scripture was given by inspiration. And everything scripture inspired by. That means God spoke to a man. And a man, wow. And he wrote it down. Does that mean it's God? No. It means that the inspiration that that man had, the thought that that man had, came from God. And if you'll look at the heart of what that man's saying, you can use that for doctrine, for correction, to change your life. the doctrine. It's the teaching. It's about changing your life. It's not about all the theology you can come up with. It's about a way you can understand who God really is. When you own yourself. And so many people throw it all away because they had a perverted idea of what this Bible's about. This perversion, when we look at ourselves as who we really are, then we can really begin to see who God is. All the depression, all of the anxieties, all of the troubles and problems that are bad in this world are because there's something perverted. Christ came to be light. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He is trying to deliver us. And our perverted views and our perverted mind keeps us from Him. Because we won't own ourselves. When we own ourselves, the Bible talks about one place that Jesus healed a man and He saw, yeah, I see men as trees walking. A perverted view. Then He touched him again and He saw all things clearly as they were. God's trying to heal our minds to where we can see things clearly. We can see Him. Light. We can see humans as souls that need help. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. He is condemned already, living this condemnation. I grew up knowing this condemnation from a little age, that I was separated from God. I went to an altar and asked to be saved. And they wanted me to feel better about who I was. Tried to put a little salve on this condemnation. Oh, I'm saved because I believe. Jesus died for me. I believed it. But I went right back and right back and right back to the altar feeling condemned. Because the problem of condemnation was never met with repentance. It was just met with salve to soothe. They have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly, saying, peace, peace. Because it fits their religion. But whenever I finally owned myself, I need a change. I need to change. Not just the bad things. That wasn't the problem. I hated that. It was me that needed to change. And when I changed, guess what? All the result or the fruit, like those bad problems, I used to picture myself as a big tree. And lust would grow up over here, and I'd try to shake that off, and then I'd lie over here. Well, I'm trying to shake that off, and then I'd get angry, swear, try to shake that off, and I just spent my whole life, and every time I shook one off, two would grow over here. You know, it's about like someone trying to quit smoking, and so they start chewing. Next time you see them, they're smoking and chewing. It just gets bigger and bigger. The root was the condemnation. The root is me just facing myself. I'm not a good tree trying to grow good fruit. That's what I was deceiving myself. And when I didn't, I got so discouraged, so disappointed, that I just forget it all. But that didn't help either. That didn't solve it either. When I faced myself, I remember I'd spent one day just fasting and praying, wanting to know that I'm saved. And I finally came to the realization, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve it. And it wasn't just words. I deserved it. I deserved to be thrown in the trash can away from God. The trash can is away from God, and just that in itself, there's no goodness in it. Good in heaven, void of God in hell. People say they want to get away from God. They don't know. They've got a perverted idea of how bad hell is. And if they would just look in their inside themselves and see the blackness, the wickedness that's inside themselves, and just imagine that just growing for eternity. Fire isn't going to mean one thing in hell. Fire is not going to be anything compared to the poison that is inside your soul that's going to grow and grow forever. Jesus came to set you free, to cleanse you from that. He came to bring light. But men would rather have that poison, and when the light shines, they turn and run like there's a terrorist with a bomb behind them. Because they don't want it. The light hurts whenever it shines into places. That's what the people bringing the light, shines that light, and people see it, and they think, oh, look at that nasty. Look at all that nasty stuff. He's condemning me. He's judging me. And all we're trying to do is show a little bit of light. But people get mad. They get offended. They get upset because of the garbage that's in their own heart. That's why they get offended. That's why they get mad when you preach. That's why they can't take it. When somebody points something out in their life, they get all mad and run away. Or yell at you. Say, you're condemning me. You're judging me. And all we're doing is trying to shed a little bit of light, just like Jesus did. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but those people felt condemned when the light shined on them. Because of what they were. And instead of coming to the light, getting all that stuff out of there, they run and hid it. And they tried to put the light out. They tried to kill the light. They tried to destroy the light. They've done it all through history. Try to put that light out. And all it's doing is sealing the darkness that's in them. Come to the light. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much bad it looks, own it. That's who you are. And that's what the judgment day will reveal. The poison that's already there. We don't have nothing to hide. And we can either come to the light now or try to keep that garbage all piled up in there. And God will reveal it on the judgment day. And the spoiled will be cut off and cast right into the trash can. Right into the big waste dump of eternity. The landfill of eternity. Of things that don't belong with God. Own yourself. Get those perverted glasses away. See yourself as you are. Then you can see God as who He is. Then you can know the mercy and the goodness and the greatness of God. He is good. He is kind. He is merciful. And we don't want to be. The world don't want to be. They want to be thought of that way, but still hold all that garbage. Own yourself. Light has come into the world. Draw near to it. One of the other Bible verses this morning was, seek after God and you'll find Him. Seek Him and you'll find Him. Lay down all the who you are, the who you think you are, who you want to be, and own yourself. And you'll find Him. May the Lord add His blessings. Thank You, Lord, again for Your goodness and Your mercy. We just pray that You would help us to be like You. Give us a hunger and a thirst, Father, to be good, to be holy, to be kind, to be merciful, full of grace, compassion, forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to have hearts like Yours. Be of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You have anything you want to share? Amazing what drives us, and how often. Just hard to recognize sometimes what guilt can do, and how many people are afflicted by it. And you just own it. Anyway, Lord bless you.
Worship and thanks to Shall make him once relent his first vow intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories do but themselves confound his strength the more is. No lion can him fright, he'll with a giant fight, he will have a right to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblin or fame can daunt his spirit, he knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away, he'll fear not what men say, he'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
I memorized the song, what's it called?
If it goes back to life, maybe you think of it. Maybe you remember it.
I had go labor on. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Go labor on, 'tis not for naught, thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, lovely, praise thee not, the Master praises what are men. Go labor on, enough while here, if he shall praise thee, if he deign, thy willing heart to mark and cheer, no toil for him shall be in vain. Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice. Toil on, keep. Toil on, faint not, keep watch and pray. Be wise, the erring soul to save. Go forth into the world's highway. Compel the wanderer to come in. I don't remember the last one.
I memorized 116 in our regular books. My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. O watch and fight and pray, the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victor won, nor lay thine armor down. Thy arduous work will not be done till thou obtain thy crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath to his divine abode.
I did dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who from God has been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory's ground, Satan and his host. Satan and his hosty fire, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Savior, teach me day by day, love's sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter lesson cannot be, loving him who first loved me. With a childlike heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me. Love and loving finds employ, in obedience all her joy. Ever new that joy shall be, loving him who first loved me. Thus may I rejoice to show, that I feel the love I owe, singing till thy face I see, of his love who first loved me.
Behold the glories of the Lamb, amid the Father's throne, preparing their honors for his name in songs before unknown. Let elders worship at his feet, the church adore around, with vials full of odors sweet, and harps of sweeter sound. Those are the prayers of all the saints, and these the hymns they raise. Jesus is kind to our complaints, he loves to hear our plate, our praise. Let elders worship at his feet. Now to the Lamb that once was slain, the endless blessings given, paid, salvation, glory, joy remain forever on thy head. Thou hast redeemed our souls with blood, hast set the prisoners free, hast made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign with thee.